that does seem a little empty in a sense, but I trust the youth are having an enjoyable Bible study and everything down there too. It's interesting, the topic that I felt led to speak on today, with what happened this week already, seems like maybe it's just a reminder for us. The sin of worry. What are you worried about today? And the condition of the country that we are a part of, the uncertainty of things going on. What are we worrying about? What do we worry about today? There's lots of things that we could worry about today. And one of the things that people worry about is maybe our weight, for one thing. Might not be the top of the list for some of you, but the Benetton Health in the UK did a study, a survey, and concern about their weight was number one on their list. And I just thought I would read the top 10, starting from 10 down to 1. Number 10 was diet, and then job security, rent or mortgage payment, credit card debt, low energy level, overdrafts and loans, overall fitness, lack of savings or financial future, growing old, and overweight, from 10 to 1. But there, if we look at that list, there's three things that we notice about that list. They're mostly these things fall into two categories, financial or health. That is where they fall into. And also, these are universal human concerns, something that we're all concerned about. And these are issues that will be with us as long as we live. It's just part of those things. We're going to have to die in order to stop being concerned about our money or our health. Then the question was asked also, how much time do you spend worrying? It's probably more than we really realize. That same survey asked people how much time they spent worrying, and what they found out was that each week people spend about 14.31 hours worrying about something. That equals to 744 hours of worry each year, which turns into 45,243 hours of worry in a lifetime, which is 1,885 days of worry, doing nothing but worrying about things, which means that we spent 5.2 years of our life worrying about things. Now, some people worry more than others do. There's just no question about that. Some people can cover up things pretty good. It doesn't look like they don't have a worry in the world, but they might underneath, they might be have some things going on. But for most people, it's not just one thing, but many things that are wrapped up together. It might be a job or school or money or work or health or bills to pay, maybe your husband or your wife or the in-laws or your children. The list could just go on of various things that to worry about. Maybe one thing we could probably handle, maybe one or two things to worry about. Maybe we could handle that. But there's sometimes so many things that just come on to us that we just about can't handle it sometimes. To worry is to give way to anxiety or unease, allow one's mind to dwell on difficulties or troubles. The word itself comes from the old English word wergon, which means to strangle or to seize by the throat. And that sometimes puts it in a perspective. When we worry about things, sometimes we feel like we're being squeezed. There's so much things going on. Another simple definition would be worry is excessive concerns over the affairs of life. And of course, the key there is excessive. Worry happens when you are so concerned about the problems of life that you can't think of anything else. It's an all-consuming feeling of uncertainty and fear. And worry is a sin also. Worry is a sin for two reasons. First of all, because it displaces God from our life. When you commit the sin of worry, you are living as though God didn't exist. And you are living as though you alone can solve your problems. When we worry about things. And secondly, because it distracts us from things that really matter in life. As long as we are worrying, we can't do anything else. We are being strangled by worry. How can we tell when the legitimate concerns have become sinful worries? Maybe there's three things here that I have here that will maybe give us light on that. You're probably well into worry when the thing that you're concerned about is the first thing you think about in the morning and the last thing you think about when you go to sleep. It's on your mind. Or when you find yourself thinking about it in every spare moment. I've already been wake up nights and just couldn't turn my mind off thinking about things, and then maybe I'll go read a book or something or do something just to get my mind off of it. But then as soon as I try to go back to sleep again, here it comes again. Or when you find yourself bringing it up in every conversation, seems like that's the only thing we can talk about. Seen in that light, most of us worry a lot more than we would like to admit. But then we find God's answer to our worries stated in a verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. Can anyone tell me what that verse is? Yes, that's right. Thank you. You bet. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. To get a broader perspective, I also checked out some other translations and some paraphrases there of this verse. I'll just read some of these. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Or you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. Live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. Since God cares for you, let him carry all your burdens and worries. If we notice that there are different words that are used there in that, the cares, anxieties, burdens, and worries, that covers all of life, really. That's what we have. No matter which word you choose, God makes the same invitation for all of them. Take all of your worries, your anxieties, your burdens, your cares, and give them to me. That is what he is saying. So let's take a look at this verse and see how to respond to God's gracious invitation. The first word is a definite action, cast. Cast all your cares on him. And this is a familiar theme stated in different ways in different parts of the Bible. Again, some in some different translations. Psalms 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. In Psalms 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And Matthew 6, verse 25. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? God has done everything necessary for us to trust him. In Matthew 6, verse 34. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own trouble. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then finally, we have that verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God intends that we are not to be strangled by worry. God has done everything necessary for us to trust him. He has said, give me your problems. And 1 Peter 5, 7 there says that we are to cast our cares on the Lord. And the word there, cast, means to throw off with vigor, to get rid of it. It's a picture of a hiker maybe at the end of a long day just taking off his pack and throwing it on the ground. I've had enough of you today. That's what we need to do with our anxieties. By the act of the will, we are to unload our worries on the Lord. And also, there is a fine line between worry and legitimate concern. I mentioned that because Peter is actually not telling us that don't have any concerns of life. That's not what he is indicating here. Because we've got to think about things like our job, our education, or our finances, our children, or our health. And also our plans for the future. You know, every day we make decisions that touch all of these areas. So what is Peter saying? Make wise plans in all areas and make decisions that you need to make, but do not be strangled with worry about things you cannot control. We are to unload all of our worries on him. And then the next part of that sentence there, cast all your cares on him. All your cares. Pastor Ray Pritchard talks about a time when he sat down with a piece of paper and began to write down the things that were troubling him. And he says, within a few minutes, I ended up with a list of 43 items. After I looked at it, I added four more things to the list. As I studied the list later, two thoughts occurred to me. First, none of the items are world-shattering in their impact. Many of them are just normal, ongoing concerns of life. Nothing was in the category of bringing peace to the Middle East. Yet the things on my list, trivial though they were, have a cumulative effect that weighs heavily on the soul. And secondly, I have no power to solve or change most of the things on my list, at least not immediately. Some things will take care of themselves. Others involve God's timing. And still others are ongoing prayer requests that I pray about almost every day. After I made my list, I wrote 1 Peter 5, 7 at the bottom of the page to remind me that I don't have to solve my own problems. Maybe we should make our own lists. just take a few minutes and write down all your cares, your worries, your burdens, anything that's on your heart. No one else needs to see it. Just to write those things down. And then rip it up and throw it in the trash. The very act of ripping up the list is part of what it means to cast your cares on the Lord. Just to get rid of those things. And then the latter part of that phrase there, on Him. Cast all your cares on Him. Either He carries the worry or we do. If we do, we'll be divided, distracted, disturbed, confused, frustrated, and burdened. If He carries the load, we may still have trouble and difficulties, but no consuming anxiety, no dominating fear, no undue concern, and no helpless despair. Because we've turned everything over to Him. He is taking care of those things. Another way of saying it, with Jesus, we'll carry the backpack on our hike toward heaven. God will carry those things for us. It's not just that your burdens will be carried. It's that He, the Lord of the universe, will carry them for you. He who created all things, who is our Savior, who knows us and loves us, who cares for us, who died for us and rose again, who intercedes for us, and who will one day come again for us. He will personally carry all of our worries. Jesus will carry your backpack. Why would we lug that heavy weight when Jesus will do it for us? Why would we cling to our problems when the Lord of the heaven and earth will do it for us? Why would we stagger under the load when our Lord says, "Let me carry that for you"? That's an invitation that's both intimate and personal to each one of us. Jesus says, "Let me carry your burdens." How can you say no to Him? And then the last part of that verse there, because He cares for you. Think about those four simple words, He cares for you. What truth that they contain. What hope in time of trouble. This week, anyhow, when Nathan fell on Thursday, driving out there, it was... It was difficult. But we just had to put our faith and trust in God. He knows what He's doing. And then Friday evening there, the children had gone earlier and we'd actually gone to bed and then we woke up to the phone ringing, and the first thing you hear is, "He's not responding." There again, we need to just call on the Lord. And God gives us strength through those times. We're very thankful that things turned out then for the better. But at the time, we were very uncertain on what's going on. (Clears throat) God cares for us. What hope in time of trouble. And thinking about this helps us to know that when Peter wrote this verse, he used two different Greek words. The word translated cares, worries, or anxieties in the first half of the are completely different from the word cares in the second half. They're not even related. Those words are totally different. The word in the second half of the verse means something like to fix your thoughts upon something. In other words, it means much thought is given to you. It means that he has you on his heart. He's always thinking about you, us, his children. God has got our best interest in mind at all times. He has you on his heart. And we can think of various examples, just what I just talked about. A mother also waiting while her child has surgery. She has that child always in her heart. Nothing can intrude or change her focus. Or think of the husband coming home from a long trip, how happy his wife will be to see him, how carefully she prepares everything for his arrival. Or think of the prodigal son that we read of, that Jesus gave us the example, who at long last was returning from a far country. In the story that Jesus told there, much thought was given to him by his father. He waited and watched and hoped. For the day that when his son would return, nothing would deter him. Even the neighbors might have thought that his father was crazy. They might have told him, come inside, the boy of yours is never coming back. But he still was watching for him. He would not be turned aside. His son was on his heart. And at the first sign on the horizon, he ran to meet him. An example of what God has on his heart is each one of us is on God's heart. So here's the great truth that comes to this verse, makes this verse so powerful. Our Father has us on his heart. He is always thinking about us. But too many of us fear that if we cast our care on him, somehow he will mess things up. We might not admit it, but we question, can God be trusted? Until we settle that issue in our heart, worry will rule our life. God can be trusted. God has our best interest in mind. We fear that if we submit our lives to Jesus Christ, he will mess things up for us. He will ask us to do things that we don't want to do. And he'll send us to places we don't want to go. He'll bring unpleasant people into our lives. And he'll force us to be someone that we don't want to be. We secretly fear that he can't be trusted to take care of us. So we decide that we to handle our own problems, and we wonder why we're frustrated and unfulfilled. Because we don't relinquish our own will and our worries and troubles and things to him. No wonder we're so messed up. Maybe we don't have any problem casting our cares on him. Just casting our cares on the Lord. Maybe we don't have any problem doing that. But our problem is that we keep pulling them back. Sort of like a fisherman casting his bait out and reeling it back in again. Casting it out, but pulling it back in again. Is that what we do with our worries? As the hymn that we sing a lot of times is, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Don't pick it up and bring it back. Here's the heart of the biblical Christianity. God cares for me. He proved it by sending his own son to die for us. The issue was settled for all time at the cross. Any God who would sacrifice his own son for a person like me must care for me. There is no other reason he would do such a thing. When we come to God, we don't have to convince him to care for us or even to hear us. We don't have to chant or shout or ring bells or make sacrifices. We come to him as his children, and gladly he hears us. We don't need to do anything to make God care for us. We start from the assurance rooted in history that God cares for us. And on that basis, we can unload our worries on him. He will take care of it. And we still have our burdens and concerns. It's not like we just totally carefree. There are still questions that keep us awake at midnight. Like, what will tomorrow bring? Will our health hold up, or will we have a heart attack or a stroke? Will we waste away in a hospital? What about our children? Will they serve the Lord? What if something happens to them? Who will take care of us in our old age? Singles might even worry if they'll ever marry. Will we live to see our grandchildren? We all have concerns about our choices and wonder where we will be in maybe 10 years from now. I think that's things that we can be concerned about, but we don't need to worry about. If we have our life where God wants us to be, if we are living in Christ Jesus, then we are right where God wants us to be. But God will never leave you. And here I've got three truths here that might encourage us as we think about our worries over the future. Don't worry about tomorrow, because God is already there. God goes before his people. He's already there. And God promises to be with you no matter what happens to you tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, and all the days after that. God is with us. And we can live without fear because God has us on his heart every moment. He will not forget us. We do have our concerns. We'll never be free of the cares of this life as long as we live on this world. But we can live without the suffocating worry that strangles our faith and drains our joy. To all of our fears, the Lord says quite simply, I am with you always. So we have nothing to fear. We of all people, God's people, ought to be optimistic as we face tomorrow. We have a great future because we have a great God. So in spite of all the things that are going on, the things that are trying to get us down, let's get our chins up, put a smile on our face, pull our shoulders back, take our troubles, wrap them up in a box, and give them to the Lord. Then God will take care of all of that for us. I trust we can all be encouraged to truly turn our life over to God and let him take over for us what we can't do, things that we can't control, and let him just take care of it. It's not always easy to do, I must admit. There's many times that I have to wonder what God is trying to teach me. I must be pretty hard, bullheaded or something, that he's has to take great measures to try to get my attention. But I wish each one God's blessings. Let us kneel for prayer.